Save big money on your next painting project at Menards. Pristine interior paint and primer in one is Dutch Boy's best hiding and most durable paint. It delivers a smooth, elegant finish while providing maximum scuff, stain, and mark resistance. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and get your painting project started today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to hour number two of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. If you're the father of a boy, we just made your day. You are driving around or sitting in the office right now going, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I'm a stud.
Yeah, I'm a tripod and I am the man because of what Barry just read off.
Please my woman first.
Yeah.
I'm larger.
Long and strong.
Yeah.
And
probably more annoying than LeVar Ball right now.
Friction on. And
right. Mike Brady's like, yeah, I keep Mrs.
Take care
Brady
of my
list.
Girl first.
That's why Mrs. Brady... you know, they both, Mike, the Bradys brought their kids to the marriage. That's why Mrs. Brady left her first husband, because he gave her three girls. She wasn't able to get her O first, so she was like, I'm out. I'm going over there with Big Mike, who's got three boys, obviously.
You know Big Mike was gay, right?
His wife
was
getting
real
her
life.
O first.
That was in real life.
Was he?
Oh, yeah.
Dad on the Brady Bunch?
Came out later that Mike...
Shut the front door.
Yeah,
are you serious?
That the father of the Brady Bunch was...
How did he end up with kids?
That's part of the...
What do you mean, how did he end up with kids? You can still have kids.
Well, either that or the writers just wrote him kids into the show.
I said in real life.
I know.
Yeah, I know. But
I was being facetious.
I know.
Okay. I didn't realize that.
Look.
What?
A suspect. Missing in action.
Oh.
Back on the radar. The screen says White Magic.
What?
Say it so. White Magic.
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? Hey, I just got a quick question. So since Barry read that article and he's basically an OB-GYN and a scientist now.
Obviously.
I have this weird neighbor across the street. I don't have any kids yet, but I'm trying to make sure that this doesn't happen, so I was hoping you could help me out. He's a boy, but he acts like a girl and he likes boys. How can I prevent that from happening? Can you give me instructions on that? Thanks. I'll hang up and listen.
Huh?
He's a boy. I gotta replay that. My bad.
I don't know.
He's a boy. He acts like a girl.
And likes boys.
I was hoping you could help me out. He's a boy, but he acts like a girl, and he likes boys. How can I prevent that from happening?
I don't.
Boy, I had high hopes for his call.
He's usually like,
yeah,
spot on and funny.
Maybe we're missing the joke. I don't know.
I think we're missing the joke. I was expecting there to be a joke about the blitz in there somewhere. That's why I was like,
that's exactly
be ready,
what I was
be careful.
Thinking.
We may have to, you know, dump it or move on if he's going to be nasty and mean.
Let me listen to him one more time.
He used to
take shots at Clarence too, didn't he?
Fun shots.
Yeah, fun ones,
but yeah. Not as hard hitting as the ones he took at
AJ. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. That's interesting.
Maybe he'll tweet you.
Well,
because he knows the rules. He's not allowed to call back.
Yeah.
So he's going to have to text or tweet. Yeah.
And after that.
Yeah, and after being missing in action for so long, he comes back with that.
I tell you what, if Jerry calls, he better bring it, eyebrows and all.
There's another one. Where's Jerry? Man?
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Oh no! Somebody texted the show. There's a jumper at 59 and Aldine. Well, they put jail route, but I think they mean mail route.
Yeah.
The overpass.
So, that's terrible.
That is terrible. How sad. Well,
hope they can
Yeah,
talk
I hope
the
somebody's able to get there
and
talk them down and get them some help, man.
No doubt.
That's no joke. That's serious stuff, man. That's very sad.
I don't know how breaking it is, but you and I had talked about the fact that Colin McHugh was still out there and could be an option for the Astros or somebody else. It's going to be somebody else.
As oh, no.
The Boston Red Sox have agreed to a one-year deal with Colin McHugh.
How much did they say?
Did not see the numbers released. Know that he is going to Fenway to be a member of the Sox.
Okay. I can look it up on the...
Well, at least he stays in the Cheater family.
Just one.
By the way, they're playing each other today.
Yeah.
Astros and Red Sox.
We're whooping that ass.
I don't give up. You know, we don't, because we don't like that. We don't give those spring training updates. You take it easy over there, mister.
That's a good point. How come I can't?
$600K base salary, though. Ooh. Performance bonuses related to innings and active days that could drive that higher.
Coupled with the fact that the good news, if you're a Red Sox fan, is Chris Sale does not need Tommy John surgery for the time being. Bad news is he's going to be on the shelf for at least a week, if not longer. So it looks like the Red Sox have to at least have an emergency plan in the rotation, regardless of what happens with Chris Sale, because he may not be pitching for a while. So there's Colin McHugh.
Right.
So I don't know.
And obviously he gives him the flexibility, but boy, you had a guy that was making $5.8 million last year, made $5 million the year before, and now he's getting $600K?
It's a steal.
This is according to Alex Speier, who's...
Well, I'm on the... I pulled it up on SpotTrack.
So you've confirmed it? This is according to a tweet. So
according to SpotTrack, it's $600K, one-year guaranteed.
Okay.
Total salary of $600K, so...
Well, that's a steal. I mean, in terms of the team. I mean, for the Astros, you could have done a lot worse. Look, even if he was going to be a relief pitcher in your bullpen again... He was pretty effective in short relief and in longer stints in relief, actually.
Yeah. It's kind of reminds me a little bit of, what's his name? Well, Keuchel, because he had the 1 year at the $21 million, but then he signed a longer-term deal with the Sox, but he had to take less per year. Mm-hmm. And that's a risk. I don't know what the Astros were offering Colin McHugh. I can't imagine it was a big raise over the $5 million a year that he got. But I imagine it had to have been more than $600K, right?
You would think so. But remember now, when you go back to the Will Harris negotiations, and he said there were several teams interested, and when they really got down to brass tacks and talking to him about who, everybody assumed the Astros were one of the final teams, and he said they were out early because they were so, the purse strings were so tight in terms of what they couldn't spend that everybody else priced the Astros out of the market. If that's the case, then you got to believe they weren't able to offer Colin McHugh anywhere near what he wanted either.
He got $600K.
I don't think that I
they couldn't have paid the dude $600K. That's literally what ball players to get called up from the minors. The league minimum is like $580 or $550.
In a lot of these cases, it becomes
principal,
right? So it's like Randall Cobb. Randall Cobb was cut by Green Bay because they didn't want to pay him 10 or 11 or whatever the final year of his contract was. Well, everybody said, well, the Packers can bring him back for $5 million. No, on principle alone, you didn't want to pay me, so you don't find value in me. So he went and took a one-year $5 million deal with the Cowboys because the last thing they were going to do was go back to the team that cuts them. So I think from a McHugh standpoint, much like a Will Harris standpoint, I think if your team that you have had good numbers with decides they're not going to pay you and they lowball you, then you're going to go somewhere else regardless.
But I mean, well, they didn't cut him.
No, I'm not saying whether you cut him or not. I'm just saying if they come to the table in negotiations and you talk to them first and they say, yeah, we're only going to be able to offer you this, and it's like a third of what you were making, then you're like, no, I'm not taking that. I proved myself for your franchise.
Okay, and I agree. I mean, that does happen, but it's kind of cutting off your nose to spite your face if you were offered a better deal. If the Astros said, we'll give you $1 million, and he's like, no, you just paid me 5.8. Look at all I've done for this franchise. You're going to give me $1 million? No way, I'm walking. And then he goes out, and the best deal he gets is from the Red Sox for 1 year, $600K.
But I think that's the thing.
You just left $400K on the table over pride.
But it's just like when Keuchel walked away from a short-term, bigger-money deal from the Astros because whether it was Scott Boras or somebody else, there was a firm belief in their camp, thanks to their agent, someone was going to offer you more and closer to the deal that we told you you were worth. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. I think the same thing could be said of when we were talking about Ryan Tannehill. Now, you know what? The franchise tag for him is 27, and we talked about this yesterday. And you know what? His agent's going to say, walk from that. It's still there, but someone out there on the open market is going to give you more. The only way you know for sure is if you test the market. McHugh may have tested the market thinking there was a better deal out there, and obviously once spring training starts, then all bets are off.
Just so you're aware, the minimum salary this year, 2020, for Major League Baseball, $563,500.
I would bet you
that dude got $36,500 more than the league minimum. That's it.
I would bet
a guy that got $5 million last year.
I would bet the incentives are going to bump that number up real quick as long as he just makes the roster, and especially if he's in the rotation.
SpotTrack didn't have any roster bonuses or anything listed.
Do they know all the different bonuses?
They'll usually list them.
But the deal just came out today. I don't know that they're going to get their hands on it.
Fair enough.
But at the same time, the other thing is when you start, you know, you're later in your career, you got a family.
He did have a, 4.9 ERA?
$600,000 is better than a zero.
Yeah, and he had a pretty bad year last year, all things considered.
I mean, the tweet says it's related to performance bonuses related to innings and active days. So a big part of it is whether or not he can stay healthy, too.
Make the roster and then make appearances, and you're going to be fine.
Oh, yeah, it does say appearance bonuses under contract notes. So we don't know what that means.
No.
But they can also manage and manipulate that, where they could put him in the bullpen and say he's long relief and then never use him.
Well, so but you know what? If you got a wife and kids.
Especially if he sucks and a wife, again.
Yeah, but I was going to say, you got a wife and kids, too, and you got to put food on. Obviously, it's not like they're poverty struck or anything like that, but right. Income for the year, $600,000 is better than zero.
Yeah, but the
Astros, what else is he doing? His podcast, I'm sure, is killing it, but it's not to that
level. I'm not sure what the Astros offered him, but you don't think it was more than $35,000 over the minimum? If they just paid him 5.8 last year?
You have to get – here's the thing. The agent has to be on board with it. And if the agent – the agents – I'm telling you, from an agent's perspective, if you've been with a team and you've made a certain amount of money and you lowball to that level,
okay,
just on principle alone, they're walking.
Well, at least he'll understand the whole,
cheating scheme.
Their whole system for cheating. He won't have to relearn that.
Right.
So that's good.
Goes to the old song, I don't want to work. I just want to bang on the garbage can all day.
That's not how that song went at all.
Took a shot. All right, so hour number two continues. By the way, 2:30, we're going to have the Presidente, the president of your Houston Roughnecks, your undefeated 4-0 Houston Roughnecks, Brian Michael Cooper, in studio. So if you got some questions for the Prez, send them our way, and we'll pass them by as we catch up with him getting ready for a big home game this weekend at TDECU. We are rolling through the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final segment of the first half of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. As I was looking at what was trending on Twitter, Josh Gordon was trending. And I'm like, well, why the hell is that? He's been suspended how many times? Please don't tell me that another team's picking him up or he had another slip up or something else happened. And it turns out he's coming up and being tagged and hashtagged because the word came out that the final document with the final language on the new NFL CBA was distributed to all the players. And I believe it still has to be ratified. And obviously, there's still player reps and prominent players tweeting and making sure that their voice is heard about yes or no, vote yes, vote no. But one of the things that it seems like it says in the document is that the new CBA will remove all substance abuse suspensions for positive drug tests.
That is weird.
Is that a smart move?
I mean, is that just weed or is that crack?
See, if you're just doing heroin
in the showers, are you still like, ah, well, you're all right? I don't know what's the line. What do you draw there?
The 2020 substance abuse policy, which has been distributed to all players eligible to vote, removes all suspensions for positive tests. Instead, players will be subject to fines only for a positive drug test. Obviously, it's different if the players are in different stages of their the drug violating the program. There will be other penalties that go with that if it's their first time versus second time and all those things. But it doesn't really, as far as I've seen, it doesn't get into elaborating on what the substance is.
The question becomes, is this all drugs? Because you could say, is it performance enhancing? Is it,
that's a good point.
Is it recreational? You know, what is it? Because right now, I think, or the something I just pulled up, it's steroids, stimulants, masking agents, diuretics, cocaine, opiates, PCP, LSD, all result in a 10-game suspension right now without pay. Second positive test is a 25-game unpaid suspension.
Yeah, because it says for the first violation, the player loses one half of a game check, which would be more substantial in some cases than other penalties in the past. For the second violation, it's a week's pay. Third violation, 2 weeks pay. Fourth and all subsequent violation, 3-game fine. But while that can get expensive, the player will be allowed to play in each of those weeks.
Okay, yeah, because this thing is stupid. Whoever put that together, that can't be right. 25 games isn't even close.
Right, because that's like yeah. What, two seasons almost.
Right. But I want to know what they test for. That's the thing. The NBA, I don't think they test for weed very often. Let's be real.
Oh, it's one time a year.
Yeah.
From what I remember back in the day, too, with the different, and obviously it was friends with a lot of players, too, that remembered it. But once you're a veteran, and I won't say their names, but I can tell you that there were players that once they did the one test a year for a veteran and they passed, it was like a holiday because they knew the rest of the year they could do what they were going to do and they weren't going to get rung up.
Mm-hmm.
And I would assume that it probably has changed since then. I don't know. But it does say for the NFL in this new CBA that suspensions will only arise from a failure to cooperate with testing or clinical care while in stage two. And a suspension happens only at the fourth violation, 3 games. The fifth violation results in a 4-game suspension. The sixth violation triggers an 8-game suspension. And the seventh violation leads to banishment for at least a season.
I don't know. The thing that I like about it is, let's say that you do get popped for weed and you play in California or you're a Bronco.
Right.
And it's legal in that state.
Right. That's where I was going.
I'm like, okay, that probably, you should be fine. Now, I will say this, that regardless of legality in states, there are companies that just don't allow, and I'm just talking regular businesses, corporations, not NFL franchises, but there are companies that have just a policy of no drug use. If you get random drug tested and you pop for marijuana, even if you're, let's say you work for, I don't know, let's say you work for IBM and you work in the Denver office, if you get popped and IBM's policy is, you know, if you fail a drug test, you get fired. They can still fire you even though it's legal because that's their policy. So it is up to the NBA to do what they want. But I do like the fact that they recognize, look, marijuana, the same stigma doesn't exist around this drug that used to.
Right. It's being legalized across the country. And with that, there's also the secondary issue, which is why I think they got to this point with punishment, is because, like, even in Houston, they're talking about if marijuana use is legalized in the state of Texas, that the other thing they're going to do is they're going to go back and they're going to rescind all of the different arrests and things that have been associated with just drug possession, marijuana possession. So I would think from a league perspective, because the question has to have arisen because of the great outcry in the last year or two from players saying, look, in terms of recovery, mentally and physically, it's helps. A huge help.
Yeah.
And if you want to do what's best for the player's well-being, physically and mentally, you have to accept this as
higher.
Something that you have to consider. And because of more and more states, ratifying the use of legalized marijuana, you got to take into this to be a forward-thinking league.
I agree. I like the move. Mm-hmm. I think they just need, if they don't have it, and there's way smarter people than I on this, but I feel like you would want to designate, okay, what we're talking about is weed.
Yeah, I definitely think there has to be some specifics.
It can't be, shooting up heroin.
Right.
Oh, and steroids. But, yeah, if you get popped for some, Mary Jane, you're good.
There has to be some specifics, and it has to be spelled out, obviously, clearly within that document.
I was telling Nick this, but since we're on the subject of marijuana, you know, I have never, I'm 45 years old. I have smoked weed before. I have never rolled a joint in my entire life.
God. Considering how many times you've done it in the past, right?
Yeah, I mean, there were moments in my life where I did it, and now there may be moments in my life currently where I do it, maybe. Last night, maybe. But I have never, I had to YouTube.
Oh my God, come on.
I'm not even lying.
You YouTubed how to roll one?
Not just that. How to break it up?
What?
How to... There's YouTube videos just on how to light it.
Nick, if you talked about losing respect for both of us on different things over the course of this show, you have to have lost a ton of respect for him right
now. Every time I've ever gotten high, someone else rolled it. Why is that my fault? Hey, guess what else? I've never rolled a burrito. Does that matter? I didn't have to YouTube it, but if I ever made my own burrito, someone else has always made the burrito for me. What's the difference?
I bet you'd roll a perfect burrito.
Oh, boy. You better. It'd be look way better than the joint I rolled.
He's going to air fry it this weekend when he's high.
Ooh, that's a good idea, Joel.
There you go. I've given him a project
look
for the weekend.
That.
Or before Nora gets
roll
back.
Roll a joint and then roll a burrito. Look at that.
And then I think my
air fry it.
Yeah. Which one?
Both.
Okay.
Probably help out.
Yeah. There's a lot of how-to videos on YouTube. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, yeah, and I saw that.
Oh, my God, is there? Yeah. I found that out from putting together kids' toys to everything else. There's a YouTube for everything. There's a YouTube for how to
light a joint. I'm like, that seems pretty easy, but apparently there's a whole skill involved.
There's a YouTube on how to pick a lock within a house.
What?
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't
seem Taylor locked her bedroom door, and
you needed a YouTube video for that?
There's a YouTube video on how to unlock the door.
Just take a paper clip, push it in the hole.
No, this was a different lock.
We'll get a butter knife and put it in.
Barry can break into anything, believe me. He broke into this
one of his 150 jobs was to break into things that common folk couldn't figure out.
No, that's not
true. When he was at the apartment complex as the manager and he was bored in days where people were working, he decided to use a little exploratory.
I was never the manager.
You were the super?
And I did roofs. Roofs? Wow. Is it roofs or roofs?
I was about to say, was roofs? That a V I heard?
Is it hooves or hoofs? The roofs or roofs?
Is it a?
I don't know.
Crow's but hat? I saw a picture of what you rolled. It looked like a mushroom stem. It was
you
Cheech
and Chonged it.
It looked like a softball bat.
Yeah, it looked pretty bad. Yeah,
you Cheech and Chonged it.
What is this joint? Who made this? DeMarini?
That's a very well-placed joke if you're a softball player.
Thank you so much.
Yes. All right, so we're about done with the first half of the show, and Brian Michael Cooper, the president of the Houston Roughnecks, is going to join us next segment. Before we get to all that, though, I do want to tell you, if you've been thinking about changing your energy provider or your deal's up and you just need a different company because the one you've been with just hasn't been getting it done, high rates, bad prices, not doing you any favors, check out Infuse Energy. Infuse Energy continues to take care of usual suspects and get them great rates and the best prices in town. They just did it for P. Randizzle. He was tweeting over the weekend. He got the lowest energy bill he's ever received, and it's all thanks to Infuse Energy. You can get the same. Check him out at InfuseEnergy.com, or better yet, call him 844-INFUSE2. 844-463-8732. You're going to find out by talking to a human being and not an automated system that they really do care about giving you the best customer service in the state. So much so that they've got a 5 out of 5 star rating with the Public Utilities Commission of Texas. They take care of their people because that's the best rating you can get. And when you get them on the phone, they're going to ask you as many questions as you ask them until they can pinpoint when you use energy the most, when you use it the least. Is it for your family or your business, etc.? It's just the way they do business. They talk to you. They're communicative. They never lie. They're 100% honest, and they want to make sure that they give you a personalized plan. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back and 100% green energy at your fingertips. Whether you call 844-INFUSE2 or InfuseEnergy.com, I'm telling you, infuse energy into your life.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Second half of The Usual Suspects starts now on ESPN 97.5. Waiting for the president of the Houston Roughnecks, Brian.
No.
Michael Cooper to be here.
We're waiting on the president of the Houston.
You go. I thought we were going to do it together.
Why is my chair sinking?
He's doing it again, Nick. The chair is swallowing Barry.
Look at this. I was even with this microphone when
this
segment.
He's hanging onto the desk to keep his head above the microphone.
I was even with this microphone when this segment started, and now all I can do is smell it.
You've burnt the most calories you've had all month just walking up to close that door, and look, you're still causing.
This is punishment.
I'll have you know that I am below 200 now, so you can officially suck.
That's not what the chair says.
Plus, this is karma, Nick, because he tried to put guilt on you for not shutting the studio door, and this is what he gets.
I was like, man, I need my running shoes to go that far. Goodness, I was exhausted. I don't know what happened to this chair. I told AJ, I don't care anymore. Throw it away. I don't care. I just, whatever's there, I sit in it now because all the chairs suck. So this is where, look at this. This is ridiculous.
So big, you destroyed the advanced technology that comes along with hydraulics. You're just ruining all the chairs on the fourth floor.
You see the shocks on my car.
How's the Accord chair right now?
The
seat here don't work no more?
The left side of my car just leans. It's just shot. I gave my memory foam mattress Alzheimer's. That's how fat I got. All right.
Wow. By the way, shout out to our own Graham McKernan, whose birthday is today.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday, Graham.
Happy birthday, Graham. Esme says he is a media veteran. That means that he's been
a media veteran?
Everywhere.
Has he been everywhere?
Yeah. I've worked with Graham when I was with the Rockets, when he was with several TV stations, cable outlets, and radio stations.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're born with it. Sometimes
it's Maybelline. If he was a cat, I wouldn't be gambling with any more lives.
He's almost out. Oh, really?
Yep. Yeah. But happy birthday to Graham.
I know a guy that does radio that's like that.
Who, Fred?
No. A guy that's been all over the the city.
I think I know who you're talking
about.
Yeah. All right. So with that, we open up the second half of the show.
Sorry, I made it awkward. That's my bad.
That's all right.
That's on me.
So the Rocket,
real quick, yes. We were talking about rolling stuff.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Somebody said the only joint Barry's ever rolled was his ankle.
That's very funny.
Fantastic.
That's outstanding.
First of all,
text again.
Yes.
I don't appreciate your honesty. Second of all, that was very funny. And then somebody else texted the show and said, where the hell did it go? As a member of the African-American delegation, I also have never rolled a joint and had to YouTube it my first try. That was from Willie B.
There you go.
So I feel better now that I'm not the only idiot that ever had to look it up before. I just don't buy it.
You think Willie thinks you're black too?
I have no idea. Okay. If I don't have to roll it, I'm the mooch that just, I'll give you $2. We're even. I don't know. It's not something that's like really important to me.
Nick, he's got a coffee bar in his bathroom. He's got a machine that presses his shirts. You know he's going to find, he's got that, every room has a vacuum cleaner thing that's wireless remote thing. You know he's going to find some kind of contraption.
Joint roller?
That's going to roll his own joints.
But that's not true because I don't buy it. I never have any. So it's not like a thing. Like I had a little bit. I just didn't know what to do with it.
We'll just ask the president of the Roughnecks when he comes in.
Probably not doing that. I just, no. But they do sell pre-rolls, right?
What do you mean, right?
They sell pre-rolls.
I'm pretending like I don't know, Joel.
And you're also looking at
Did you pick
Nick.
Up on that?
Yeah.
They sell pre-rolls in states where it's legal?
The reason why I'm saying that is because he could walk in at any minute. And you're sitting here talking about pre-rolls and all this other stuff.
I don't have one lit. It's not illegal to talk about it, is it?
So free rolls.
Is it against the law to talk
about
it?
No, it's not. Like okay. In legal places.
But you know, Nick, as a trained professional, I would roll into the drug testing policies that go along with the XFL because that would be the way to transition.
I was going to say,
there
it's
you
the
go.
XFL, not the NFL. He's probably cool.
That's what I'm thinking.
They probably have like CBD and the Gatorade and everything. Like they're ahead of the times.
I would make the same argument.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like genuinely.
All I don't we know would do is say, Brian, you're going to have to wait till the next segment because this has gotten a little bit off the rails.
We don't know how to throw to you right now. We're
is
gonna,
it really that off the rails with this show?
We don't know how to pass it to you, so we're going to come back and okay.
Now I can't even I'll go into what I was going to get into. So
why not?
Because we're running out
of time. We don't have to dwell on it. What is it?
So there was a trade in the NFL. It's not going to be final, but I don't know if you saw this. And how it might affect someone that's going to play for the Chargers next year. But Russell Okung, who was a former All-Pro offensive lineman, traded to the Carolina Panthers as the Panthers will return right guard Trey Turner to the Chargers.
Yeah, kind of interesting where both teams have a need.
Both they are swap. Accomplished linemen over their career and now changing places.
I'm not upset with it. Who is it? Is it Okung that has the 1 year left on his deal?
So the trade can't be made official until 4 p.m. on March 18th because that's the official start of the new league. Mm-hmm. But Turner, who's been selected to 5 consecutive Pro Bowls, is signed through the 2021 season.
Right.
And scheduled to count 8.5 and 11.5.
Okung has 1 year left at 13, if I'm not mistaken.
13 and change. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's one of those situations where maybe it could be something with health. Maybe it could be something in the locker room. Maybe it could be something with schematically with the way their blocking schemes work. It doesn't work for them anymore. And so both guys getting fresh starts, and they're going to try and do a little swap.
Yeah, Panthers needed a left tackle. So it makes sense for them. I like the move because from the Chargers' perspective, you're saying, okay, well – if this doesn't work, it's a one-year thing.
Yeah.
You know.
Right. You're not on the hook for anything long-term or multiple years.
Right.
But at the same time, you're also in need of a quarterback, so you better damn well get it straight, whatever you're doing with your offensive line. Because if you do believe some of the rumors that Tom Brady is considering the Chargers, one of the first things he's going to look at, aside from weapons around to throw to and hand the ball off to, is going to be your line better be pretty damn good.
Yeah.
So you better make sure that you're making that move and getting the right – you know, personnel to fill that out. And in the case of Carolina, you got a new head coach. You don't know what's going to happen with Cam. If you are bringing him back off an injury, obviously it's going to be paramount that you take care of that line too. So we'll see how it pans out. But as we get closer to free agency and the start of the new year, we're going to see a lot more moves coming right now.
Where you see teams swap offensive linemen, but yeah. See, we got to that pretty quick. Another thing I wanted to point out before we go to break. Just and I know we don't do spring training updates, but this one
you don't. I tried.
This one is warranted. Gerrit Cole has been shelled.
I love
and I'm happy.
I am too. I love
it. He gave up back-to-back home runs, not once, but twice to the Tigers. He went 2 innings, 6 earnings, 4 home runs.
In one
couldn't have happened to a better dude. Get out of here. Scram, beat it, kid.
I love that.
Stupid Yankee.
You know what he's going to say, though.
Legit dumb
Yankee.
That's
what spring training's for. I'm experimenting with new pitches.
I don't care. If it was an Astro, I would say that. But he's a Yankee, so it serves him right. He got shelled back-to-back twice.
Jeez, in one game?
And some guy was like, oh, man, Gerrit Cole's pitching today. This is great. I hope you paid to go to that. I hope you bought tickets and it got ruined.
Is that Jake Gasman?
Well, there's that.
Could have been. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. Hour number 2, 3-hour extravaganza. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through hour number 2 of the 3-hour extravaganza. It is the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. Brian Michael Cooper, president of the Roughnecks, on the way, en route. We'll get him on as soon as he gets here. So cool. Look forward to that. Rockets tonight against the Clippers. That's a big one. If the Rockets win, they win the season series. So we know it's coming down to the stretch for best records, not name the Lakers, to try and get positioning in the Western Conference playoffs. With that being said, before we even get into the game itself, rumors and sources say Luke Mbamute was in town. Worked him out yesterday, trying to see if he's a fit on this squad.
This is a great idea 2 years ago. You disagree?
No, I mean, I think for what he brings to the table, you already got enough of those guys. I think Jeff Green is your this year's Luke Mbamute, and he's a better shooter.
Well, Luke wasn't a situation like Montrezl Harrell. Yeah, exactly. It was a shoulder issue. It wasn't a situation where he wasn't being played like Montrezl Harrell. It was a guy that was being played, but you could tell he was playing hurt. He was scared to make any really serious contact with his shoulder in those playoff games, and I think it hurt the Rockets a little bit. Not to his fault, but it'd be great if he's in shape and ready to go. Why not?
I was going to say the bigger thing is too, because you know the Clippers made him an offer. I think he was on the roster for like four games. But overall, you don't know. This is when we looked at, we didn't know what to expect from Jeff Green or from Damari Carroll, because at least from Carroll's perspective, he was on a roster. Mm-hmm. So you knew he was going to be in relatively good shape because he had to practice every day. Jeff Green was a mid-season buyout by the Jazz, so you weren't sure. But boy, were you pleasantly surprised when you found out he had been working out in Miami, and right from the jump, he came out and just put 17 points on the board for you. You got to make sure that Mbamute is in shape, and you got to make sure that he's better than what you already have, because you're going to have to make a roster move. So whether that is giving up a guy you drafted like Hartenstein, or giving up on a guy you signed for the rest of the year like Carroll, or taking a guy like Clemens, who for some reason Daryl is extremely high on an under 6 foot, 40 foot 3-point shooter. But for one way or another, you got to figure out what you're going to do with the rest of your roster, too. So if you're going to bring him in and sign him, then someone's got to go. And that's a tougher decision to make as well. And we, you know, you guys mentioned he had the shoulder injury here.
Yeah.
I believe he eventually had surgery for it.
Well, on the plus side, he hasn't played. So he's got fresh legs. But you got to get him in shape.
He's older.
He's 33. But he's 6'8". The last time he was with the Rockets, he shot it pretty well from three, 36%.
He was a great fit that last year with him and Ariza.
Yeah, that was the second best of his career. 39 he did with the Clippers in 2016-2017. Then it dipped back when he returned to the Clippers. It dipped down to 33. But still, you would take that. At this point, if you could add another 33-34% three-point shooter who could D up a little bit, you'll take that. And at 6'8", he's been one of the taller guys on the team.
That's the bonus, too, is that just like Jeff Green, he brings more size to the equation if you are indeed going to stick with small ball, which it looks like now they are, because with the buyout market basically drying up and everybody making their rosters pretty much set in stone for the playoffs, you're not going to find a 7-footer that just all of a sudden falls into your lap and you are going to put him on the roster. So if you can get another guy with length and some height, you have to at least kick the... We've always said this. It's not going to cost you anything to kick the tires and see if he's got anything left.
And he understands the system, and he understands what he's getting into with James and whatnot. And maybe he's a better fit now than before because of the dynamics of the offense and the way they do things.
Yeah, because he knows the system, and he knows the best player and the way they have to play around him with the way he plays. So whether he ends up making the roster or not, I think they're not in any hurry. They know what the deadlines are in order to be playoff eligible and everything else. So they'll weigh those things, but it's not pressing. And I'm sure they'll make sure that they take a good hard look before they make anything final either way.
Yeah.
Well, good for them. We'll see. And the game tonight's a big one.
It is.
It's a big game, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, right now the Clippers are playing better than maybe they've played all season. And I saw someone, one of the writers, tweet last night that right now the Clippers are as difficult to guard on offense as any team in the league, and their defense has really gelled and come together to where it's hard to score on them, and that's a pretty deadly combination getting ready for the playoffs. They're right. I just don't know if they're going to be able to keep it together and get all the consistency they need to compete with the Lakers, because I'm thinking it's kind of amusing that, like, Max Kellerman this morning said, yeah, you know what, the Lakers are going to win another title. I just don't it's not going to be this year. I don't know how you can say that with
a
straight face.
How can you watch the Lakers and not think that?
Right? With the way Anthony Davis is playing on top of LeBron being considered as MVP and now all the pieces that are falling into place.
Yeah.
I would think at the start of the year when I told you guys I thought the Clippers would be the team to beat, right now I don't think there's any doubt in anybody's mind in the Western Conference it has to be the Lakers, then maybe the Clippers.
Yeah, and again, you know, they just passed the Nuggets for second in the West, and they're both 6-4 in their last 10. The difference is the Clippers have won 5 in a row, and the Nuggets lost, so just recently lost one. So, like you said, one of the hotter teams in the league right now with that 5-game winning streak, and they're starting to gel at the right time. Something you've heard said about the Rockets is it looks like the Rockets are getting it together down the stretch. Well, so are the Clippers, and so that's going to be interesting. Now, the one good thing is if you can land that three spot, right? I think you avoid them or in until later.
It's one, you know, one and four on one side of the bracket, 2 and 3 on the other. So you would avoid the Lakers until the Western Conference Finals.
Okay,
the way it's set up, so you do pay mind to that. But you know, the thing that's crazy about this, the Clippers need this game tonight to make sure that they don't drop the season series to the Rockets, because the Rockets win tonight, they take the season series from the Clippers. But other than that, it's the first time all year probably Doc Rivers and the Clippers are actually thinking that a regular season game matters, because let's face the facts, they've constructed this team from the time they got Kawhi Leonard to basically say, as long as we make the playoffs, we don't really care a whole lot about the regular season. We just want to be healthy and ready to go for the postseason, because that's all that matters. And unfortunately, that's not what the NBA wants everybody out there believing and hearing and seeing and doing. But right now, it looks like it hasn't been a bad plan, because they consistently get more, you know, healthier. They've worked through injuries. But at the right time of the year now, they're starting to gel. They're getting all their pieces. They got a couple, you know, the Morris signing and the Reggie Jackson signing helped them with depth. And now they're just gelling for the final 20 games and going, you know what? As long as we're healthy for the playoffs, we're good.
Yeah, it's a scary thing. When you thought they were going to be good, they didn't look like they were getting it together. Injuries played a big part of that.
Sure.
But it's all starting to come together now. So I mean, if you're in the West, these are the two teams you thought you were going to have to worry about. And turns out, probably who it's going to be.
I think the Lakers, they play good team defense. I don't know if they're great defensively, and you and I have gone back and forth on this.
Yeah.
I think the one huge advantage that the Clippers have is individual defense. They can play team defense. Everybody can. It's just desire. But when you can put George on one player, Pat Bev on another, Kawhi on another, you've got three guys that are top upper echelon defenders, and that's something that no other team in the league, I think, can offer you.
You also have a situation where they're more healthy now than I feel like than they have in all season. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Paul George probably hasn't been playing up to par, but for the most part, now they have a more healthy roster than they've ever had in the past. And I think the other reason why this game is interesting is because both of these teams lost to teams that they should not have lost recently, right? The Clippers lost to Miami. They probably shouldn't have lost to that team. The Rockets lost to New York. They probably shouldn't have lost to that team. And now this is a really good matchup, because if you look at the NBA and the way it works, a lot of times these teams are hot from week to week. You know, like the Lakers are the hot team. Then it's the Bucks. Then it's the Rockets, the Clippers. So this is a really important game for both teams. Barry mentioned the fact that they're on a 5-game winning streak. They could potentially extend this to 6. I mean, this is a really good game. This is a game I'm looking forward to, because I think it means a lot for what the Rockets could potentially do, regardless of what the roster looks like later in the season.
Right, it's a barometer. It's a barometer game, and this is the one that's going to give you the clearest cut indication of small ball versus a really, really good team. I mean, they played the Celtics, right, without Kemba. But this is small ball against the finest defensive setup you're going to find for small ball. Because we've talked about when they go small with Harrell at the 5, who's so athletic and is capable of guarding so many positions, and then you go with the 3 that I mentioned, and either Marcus Morris or, you know, you name it, Shamet or Lou Williams, whoever the case may be, when you put 4 quality, versatile defenders like that on the floor, that's going to be the toughest defense the Rockets have faced.
Well, and we talked about this going into the All-Star break, but when they made their moves and they went with the current lineup they have and kind of finalized it outside of bringing in Bob Mute, one of the targets for me was, I said I wanted to give this team time to gel. And like you said, Nick, I felt like that this Clippers game is going to be a barometer of what this team is, because now they've played together for a while. Now they understand their styles. You can't really judge it off of a loss to the Knicks or even necessarily a win at Boston or whatever. This is going to be, to me, how good is this Rockets team? Now, granted, things happen where you lose a game you shouldn't or you win a game you probably shouldn't. But this is an opportunity for them to make a statement.
A statement game is right.
They have to go on the road and they have to let people know we're legit.
Yeah, in its simplest form and its most conveniently the next one is
the Lakers on the 12th.
Statement game,
yep.
Barometer game. And you're right. This little path of schedule right now for the Rockets, we're going to find out a whole lot about this team in the next week or two.
Yep.
So we'll see. It starts tonight, Clippers, Rockets, national TV at Toyota Center. Coming up next, it's Brian Michael Cooper, the president of your Roughnecks, as we open up the third hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.